Yeah, that's the sound of truth coming to expose tyranny and shut it down. So, welcome to another episode of Search for Lawful Government with Ron Avery. And we have Mark Anderson on the show with us today. And we want to continue our discussion of the way to block the goal of events that are bought and purchased by the super wealthy, and in order to take more of our liberties away and to basically enslave us, as well as the population of the world, it looks like now. And that's why we've termed this eventocracy. It's a way for tyrants to obtain power that they cannot do lawfully. It's a way to trick people into giving them more authority than is lawful them for to possess, and they actually don't possess it. They just exercise power without authority, and that's called tyranny. That's the definition of it. So, one of the things I wanted to clear up too. I had a caller on my last show, and he talked about tyranny resulting from stolen elections. And that means people that are sitting in an office that should not be sitting there. And basically, that's not so much tyranny as it is usurpation. Somebody has stolen the authority that belongs to another. They're stolen the delegated authority that belongs to another. But if the program is tyrannous, that means it's the exercise of power that no one has. And that would mean even the elected party wouldn't have authority to do those things either. Next thing I'd like to clarify a little bit too. Oh, one other thing back to tyranny. And in a condition where you have dissolved government, the whole government becomes tyrannical. There's nobody in any office can do anything that's not tyrannical, because when the government has lost authority by altering one of its terms, constitutional provisions, by law without amendment as required, that results in dissolution. So the whole government loses authority. Well, that means anybody, anywhere, in any seat of it, doing anything for it, is tyranny and acting as a tyrant. So, and then that brings up the topic of what a rebel is and what rebellion is. Well, I maintain that you really can't have a rebellion against a dissolved government, because you can't overthrow it. Rebellion generally means to overthrow something, and rebels are those who go about overthrowing. Well, the rebels have already overthrown our republic and dissolved it, and so the rebellion is over. The rebels were successful, and what does that make us out here scrambling around trying to save what property we have left and What is that? What are we? Well, we're searching for lawful government. That's what it's about. We're looking for truth. We're looking for justice. We're looking to have our property protected once again. Well, that's not the act of rebellion. That's the act of construction, constructing a new lawful government wherein our property consisting of life, liberty, and possessions are safe and protected by the government. So anyway, that brings up, I'd like to cover, before I bring Mark on here, I'd like to at least tell you what we plan to do. I have some short notes here on 9/11, the purpose of it, and the evidence that I think supports the idea that it was not done by the people that are said to have done it, and that it has a purpose that had to do with, again, taking our liberties and subjecting us to submit to more of their tyrannous activities. So I'd also like to cover Sandy Hook with the same things, what its purpose was, and why I think that the event did not take place. But before I leave tyranny and bring Mark on, I've got to quote this. This I saw last night on, and this shows you the importance of words and why we should use the correct ones at all times, because the media is twisting definitions and words and using them improperly so that people will eventually convict themselves with their own mouth with not even knowing it. I want to quote this because it uses the term tyranny and it misuses it. It cannot apply to this at all. So here it comes, the quote. The summer that was supposed to mark America's independence from COVID-19 is instead drawing to a close with the U.S. more firmly under the tyranny of the virus.
Oh.
Do you believe that, Mark?
Yeah, it's a misplacement of where tyranny comes from. You can't do anything about a virus per se. If you're calling a virus a tyrant, you're saying then that tyranny cannot really be opposed.
Well, think of it this way too. How about this? You mean there's a virus that isn't? See, tyranny has to do with two things: authority and power. And a virus doesn't exercise authority. It doesn't have it. That's more like if anything, it would be. Some people like a storm or something like that. You know, whoever said that a storm had authority or doesn't?
Right.
I mean, authority has nothing to do with virus and storms or emergencies. I mean, this acts of God, we might call it. But if we call it acts of God, well, God has authority all the time.
Go ahead. What else is enveloped in there is, if the virus exercises tyranny, then they're trying to say we all have to pull together to stop the virus because it's the tyrant. Therefore, wear the mask, take the jab.
That's exactly right. Because, see, what has happened, I believe they're beginning to hear the word tyranny directed at them. So they want to misdirect it to something that has no tyranny cannot ever relate to a virus. Because it cannot be authorized or unauthorized by the people. So authority has nothing to do with it. So that gets rid of tyranny. But they want to use tyranny to redirect it, as you said, against a virus and take the evil off of themselves and put it on the virus. And they even They even use a historic thing, supposed to mark America's independence from COVID-19, like we were struggling from these evil, tyrants, like England and the King of England. This is absurdity. I mean, these people, what kind of demonic possession makes people write stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a total misdirection. So then they can characterize COVID obedience, get the jab, wear the mask. They can equate it with a fight for independence and then try and actually quell or dampen the uprising against the real tyrants that's happening right now. They're trying to throw cold water on the real uprising that I've described happening in Michigan and we're seeing elsewhere in the U.S. and across the world. They want to dampen the real uprising against tyranny and misplace what tyranny is so as to steer what we're doing off course.
Yes, and they have to pervert the definition or confuse people about it because they want people to be able to give an argument against the claim that our so-called leaders are tyrannical by imposing these mandates when they don't have authority. Now, that's truly tyranny. But then they try to call the virus itself a tyrant, which is impossible. But they're trying to get people to start using that argument, which is ridiculous on its face.
Yeah, then people wouldn't have any dichotomy. Then they could say, not only am I being the good community American communitarian, but hey, this is also a patriotic thing to fight that virus.
Yes, right. We want to deliver America because it's not about just you and I and our personal feelings. It's about deliverance of America from the tyranny of COVID-19, which is an absolutely absurd concept. It doesn't hold water. It makes no sense.
Yeah, you have to have personhood for tyranny. It has to be a personification. It has to involve human beings.
That's right. And it would have to be something exercising power without authority. You'd have to prove that the virus doesn't have authority. How would you do that? How could you go about proving it could or could not? I mean, it's absurd. What has authority got to do with a virus?
That's an awful smart virus if it knows how to assert itself and get more authority than we've already delegated to it, even though we never delegated anything to it.
Exactly. Who was the one that took the authority away from a virus? The whole thing is absolutely stupid, and it shows you how they love to twist you up and twist the population up with words and definitions.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now I want to go ahead and try to get into, we talked about we'd get into 9/11, and I'd like to before the bottom of the hour, try to wrap up the 9/11 that we want to expose. And here's what I think the purpose of it was. It was to remove and demolish two obsolete skyscrapers. I think the proof is overwhelming that these things were, that the Twin Towers were obsolete and had to be renovated at an extreme price. So they value engineered how to take it down and where others could benefit from it. So the other purpose of it was to destabilize the Middle East for Israel, the only ally of the U.S. in the Middle East, and they all claim that. And then the next one was to pass the Patriot Act, which altered basically the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, and it did so without another amendment to do it. So there's a dissolution based on the passage of the Patriot Act. And then the last one, then I'll let you add some more to it or talk about these, is to create an environment of trust and dependency on government and distrust of your fellow citizens as potential terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think the four main purposes of 9/11 was, and I think they pretty much accomplished their goals in that regard.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an additional one, Ron, or maybe this is part of the Patriot Act, but it resulted in the literal creation of the Department of Homeland Security without amendment, and that under that was the Transportation Security Administration, and now they could look up your arse or some other orifice. Now, maybe that's part and parcel of the Patriot Act, or maybe it's a fifth element, but that creation of an entirely new homeland bureaucracy is also there. And again, how you categorize it is up to you, but that's another biggie. So,
I agree.
Flying on a plane meant basically the surrender of your Fourth Amendment rights every time you wanted to go in the sky. So, listeners can characterize that as they will, but go on.
Yeah, okay, and I'll just quickly read that Fourth Amendment here, what it says in it. It says, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oaths of affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. So that they pretty much altered under the Patriot Act, where they could do these things. They could eavesdrop on you. And like you said, they combined police forces, in essence, into one thing, which kind of is approaching, the unification of all power into one thing, where they're all sharing their material. That means they cannot investigate one another because they're all combined. So that makes an entity that makes it almost impossible to actually investigate crimes within the police.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
that's true.
Anyway, I want to move on to the proofs. We only got about a minute and a half or so before the break, but I'm going to get into it anyway. And that is, these are the reasons why I think that 9/11 did not occur as we were told. Number one is that Building 7 fell at 5:20 p.m. on 9/11, but was not hit by an aircraft. And this was a 47-story building, and about 32 states of the Union do not have buildings within them that large. And next, it fell at free fall acceleration for 2.4 seconds without structural resistance. Well, that's simply not possible without demolition charges. And the South Tower, the firemen reached the 78th floor of the impact area and reported small pockets of fire, and that they were going to knock it down with two lines. And almost within 2 minutes, the building completely collapsed. And that's not possible. The fire was almost out. There would have been no reason for it to collapse. So how did it collapse? It wasn't by fire, because they put it out. So that means those buildings were demolished. So, and we'll take the break. I think it's coming up real soon here. Let's see. Yeah. And then we'll come back and finish that up. I've only got one more example for that. And then we'll take on Sandy Hook. All right. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Front door all night. Would you open the window and drop me down the kid? What if I came knocking on your bedpost that same night? Would you open up your heart and try to get the best of me?
Another good driving song provided by Julie there. Thank you. All right, Mark, I wanted to bring up Sandy Hook, and maybe we can kind of get this over by the half hour or a little past that, and we'll discuss all this. Sandy Hook, I think the purpose of it was disarmament of the American people in violation of the Second Amendment. And the... And they used this Sandy Hook campaign thing against assault weapons. And here again, this is a misuse of terms. I mean, they just violate the language. There is no such thing as an assault weapon. All weapons are either assault or defense weapons, depending on the right of the user. if the user has no right to use one against somebody or something, it becomes an assault weapon. It's an offense weapon. It's an offensive weapon. Now, if you have a right to defend yourself and your property against someone that's using weapons or otherwise, if you have a defensive right, you can't call it an assault weapon. It must be called a defense weapon. So that's how they're misusing that. And even long after Sandy Hook supposedly happened, there's new ads on YouTube pushing for this assault weapons ban based on Sandy Hook. Bushmaster has been sued, and they're in bankruptcy as a result, and they're offering about $33 million to nine of these people that brought suit, and they haven't even begun discovery. They're just rolling over. This is sad. And some of the judges are using cases that never tried whether or not Sandy Hook happened, and they're citing them just by what was alleged in someone else's suit and using them against Dr. Fetzer in his suit that he was sued for. He was sued for a libel by saying that the one of the five versions of a death certificate was fake when it wasn't signed or sealed by authorities. But anyway, and that's all of the rulings in there were entirely corrupt. And he's now at the Supreme Court of Wisconsin on that trial. And so now here's the reasons that I think it never happened, that there was nobody really killed there. Number one, there's a Wayback Internet machine that you can go to find out what kind of Internet activity a particular entity has had. Well, if you look up the Sandy Hook Internet activity, you will find that it was quite busy up until early 2008, and it stopped. There was no more activity until it was resumed in mid-2013. Well, the shooting supposedly happened December 14th, 2012. Well, this was during a period that there was zero activity on the internet for Sandy Hook. The next one is that we have cafeteria receipts showing food being sent to another school campus but charged to Sandy Hook in 2012. So this indicates, both of those indicates, that the school was closed. Now, they have studies that were commissioned in late 2011 or early 2012 that showed Sandy Hook should be closed immediately because it was in such bad state of repair and condition. And the man charged with the crime scene cleanup was unaware of any blood after the shooting. And when asked about what hazmat entity cleaned it up, he simply said, quote, "What blood?" unquote. Then we have the FBI. The FBI National Crime Report shows no murders or non-negligent manslaughter in Newtown in the year of 2012. Then we have the FEMA manual. Okay, we only have a couple of more, and then we'll finish up Sandy Hook, and we'll talk about all this, and maybe even take a caller. Stay tuned.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, I've got one more, Mark, and then we'll discuss all this. I'll answer that question in just a minute. FEMA, the last piece of evidence that I would use is strong evidence that showing that the likelihood that that no one was killed at Sandy Hook on December 14th, 2012. Is the discovery of a FEMA manual published in October 8th, 2012. And it's a FEMA manual for Sandy Hook emergency response for mass casualties involving children, scheduled with exercise date of December 14th, 2012, the very date of the supposed mass shooting at Sandy Hook. very suspicious. So that concludes all my notes, Mark, and I'm sure you have some comments related to all this.
Well, let's start with Sandy Hook and go backwards a bit. The last item you mentioned, Ron, is, for all intents and purposes, a smoking gun.
Yes.
If FEMA publishes a mass casualty report for that specific school in that specific state, in that town, on that very day, that alone, regardless of the rest that you mentioned, should be enough to completely disqualify the narrative we've been given through the mass media cartel about the Sandy Hook shooting, quote unquote.
Yes.
What news person, what news organization, what reporter worth his or her salt wouldn't look at that and go, what, WTF, WTF?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, you would bust down the doors. You can imagine one of those black and white films from the 30s or 40s and the reporters with their hats on. They always wore hats in those days. And they'd be beating on the door. Mr. Superintendent, what's this report? How can this be? Yeah, had an exercise the very day of the, you know, you can see these gritty old movies and when reporters were reporters and they would bust down walls to get a story. Now they sit in cubicles sipping lattes and, you know, what more do you need? Everything else is just adding insult to injury. Everything else is very interesting and very notable, especially the FBI statistics. But that one is glaring.
Yes, and I mean, I believe the next one, too, backing up, is the FBI crime, the National Crime Report.
Yes.
This is still online. Now, here's what people do. People say, well, somebody could have forged the FEMA manual and just gotten some kind of an outline and filled it in themselves. But it's kind of hard to do that with the FBI National Crime Report that's posted on the Internet. And it's showing nobody died, nobody was murdered in Newtown in 2012. Well, Sandy Hook is just a suburb of Newtown. It's considered Newtown. So
yes.
Connecticut.
They made that very clear. Newtown, Connecticut.
That's right.
The datelines for the stories, the news stories.
That's exactly right. That's right. And how do they get around the Wayback Machine? I mean, you can't fudge that. You can't go around fudging that thing. There's too much evidence showing that this, the likelihood that it did not take place. And as we've been talking, Mark, the whole object of our week's kind of commemorative of 9/11. Is that all of these things are events and they have a goal. And we can discover their goal. And their goals can be blocked. If people knew what their actual, the foundation of their government and what they had authority to do and what they didn't have authority to do, we can block government from being able to achieve these goals, even though the government will not investigate these crimes or prosecute anybody related to it. So if we just maintain what government is and our authority and what we don't have authority to do and prevent the government from exercising tyranny as a result.
It is the most critical thing because there was a cartoon once, a political cartoon, and both of the Twin Towers were labeled U.S. Constitution. And so when the towers were destroyed, the metaphor of the cartoon is the idea was to destroy our constitutional rights. And it wasn't to take the aluminum cladding off the steel frames of the Twin Towers. It wasn't to... ultimately, it wasn't to, render those buildings utterly destroyed. That is just a means to an end. Whatever the means is important, but the end is what matters the most. And the end, again, for purposes of our series, Ron, your show and my show this week, maybe spilling into next week, is that means and ends both matter. We can discuss the means, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the anomalies, the physical evidence, but the ends, the goals, the objectives is what matters, and that's where we can step in. They've got us. Let's face it. They've got us in a full Nelson when it comes to means. They've got us in a full Nelson when it comes to the ability to propagate their message. RBN cannot reach as many ears and eyeballs as CBS. But when you get to the ends, the objectives, that's where they're weak, and that's where we're strong.
That's right. That's right. And see, I think we've discovered, I think we know now why they are doing this for all of it, because they know that they have dissolved government. They know that they're tyrannical. They know that the whole federal government and state governments have been dissolved and are acting tyrannical against the rights of the people. So what they are, their operation is to stay in power. That's all they're concerned about. So what they're doing is they're creating these events and then harvesting more of the things they need to stay in power. Like 9/11, they're making you distrust your neighbor. He could be all he needs is a box knife to bring America to their knees. All you need is, that's right, and all you need is a machine gun. But who are you going to trust, and who's helping you? The government is helping you by passing more laws and guarding everyone and regulating everyone and scanning everyone all the time. So they're building trust in the government, which is dissolved and tyrannical, and making you distrust your neighbor. And they also want you disarmed. They don't want a bunch of armed people. So they're literally using state terrorism. That's what I actually think Sandy Hook is state terrorism. It's the use of harm, and it's pretended harm, the use of pretended harm to alter the law and public policy. And that means they're targeting the Second Amendment. So, and we've talked about this before too. We need to make people know that when there's a crime, supposedly like Sandy Hook or some of these so-called mass shootings, that they cannot withhold any evidence, the crime scene pictures or anything. They cannot redact anything when that crime is used for another crime against the law of the land, the Second Amendment. It is against the law of the land to disarm the American people. That's the Second Amendment. And if they're using that crime to do so, they must give up all privacy. Everyone has no privacy involved. It all has to be turned over to the public.
We've talked about that before, which was why in April of 20, I sent a request to the Department of Public Safety of Texas for a complete report on the Sutherland Springs church shooting that happened in November of 2017. I got 11 of, there was an 86-page document, all but 11 pages were completely redacted, and of the 11 remaining, most of it was redacted. And it was reduced to a list of police officers' names and phone numbers for the most part. And that was the idea then. It's, if you want to use the specter of terror to alter public policy, then you have to prove, and the burden of proof is on the government. They have to prove the damn thing happened. Every last bit of it. Photograph. Grizzly, give me grizzly, give me gory. I don't care.
Yes. Now, I also maintain if they're not going to use that for to alter the law, use that crime to alter the law, then they can maintain some privacy. unless they're in some kind of lawsuit, then they may have to turn certain things over in the lawsuit. But I don't mind them maintaining some privacy of the harmed people. But by golly, if they're going to try to disarm the American people against the law of the land, they better cough up every damn picture they have and every shred of evidence they have, unredacted, nothing taken out.
We're getting a little bit of a loss of some of your words on my end, Ron.
Yes,
I'm
going to
ask
breaking,
Juliet.
You are also breaking up. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if Julie's hearing gaps. I'm going to ask her to chime in and say, yeah, I'm hearing. That's unfortunate. Yeah, she's sending a message right now. Okay, I'm glitchy. She's saying you're sounding good, so only I'm hearing the glitches of you, Ron.
Well, you're also glitching.
If it gets worse, I can always switch to phone feed.
Do you have your little earbuds and mic?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's weird. Okay. Well, I think you're just losing some connection there.
Yeah, well, these are great points. And by this, we don't know if they produce good evidence, then you go ahead and take away our Second Amendment rights. We don't mean that, ladies and gentlemen. We're just talking about how audacious it is for government to make such demands on people and push disarmament, civilian disarmament. It's not gun control. It's civilian disarmament when they can't prove a given mass shooting happened and they don't show the evidence. And the burden of proof is on just that came through.
Yeah, I did miss some of that again, Mark. So I'll just repeat
it.
We've said it good enough. I think we've covered that pretty good. So
yeah, I'm going to ask Julie to call me on the phone now.
Okay, that'll be cool. All right, so while we're waiting for Mark to get back on a phone line, if we have any callers, if anybody would like to call in related to this, feel free to do so at this point. I think we've covered all of our what we wanted to do. I think hopefully on Mark's show tomorrow, we can get into COVID-19 and how this also is one of these events. In fact, they called it Event 201. So I think we ought to go with it. This is Eventocracy Event 201 is COVID-19. And I think we can determine the purpose of that as well. Okay, Mark's back. Did you make it back, Mark?
Yes, I did. And I was just winding up those comments. I'm assuming there's no glitches now, that just because even if government produced actual solid comprehensive proof of a given mass shooting, we're not saying that, oh, only then would we then say, okay, now you can have the Second Amendment and put it in the shitter. we're just making the point that the burden of proof is on the authorities. And there is not a single mass shooting that I'm aware of, and I've looked hard, for which they have provided documented, convincing proof that that mass shooting went down at all, or at least that it went down the way they say it did. Not once have they produced any evidence.
Thank you, Mark. Very good point. We're not saying just because they give us all the evidence that now they can disarm us because it happened. Not at all. There's no justification whatsoever for disarming the American people. The Second Amendment is non-negotiable. The reason why it's there is that we would even accept the entire Constitution. Without the Second Amendment, you don't have an agreement between the people and the government. And besides, we have a God-given right to protect ourselves, and not just from somebody breaking in our home, or to provide food, shooting deer on our table and everything. It is against just what we're experiencing. It's a way, our final wall against tyranny, taking our rights and liberties. That's what the Second Amendment was about.
Absolutely. And 9/11 was more focused on the Fourth Amendment, as you mentioned. And by extension, I would say that all of these eventocracy shock and awe events also, in one way or another, Ron, would make their way into limiting the First Amendment. Because to support the Second Amendment requires freedom of speech. To support the Fourth Amendment includes freedom of speech. So an assembly where people can get together, which they're trying to crack down under COVID. So again, we talk about means and ends. The means of all these major crimes and terrorist events, terrorism again being the use of violence to alter public policy, the action is in the reaction. They're gonna rub right up against and erode the First Amendment, even as they target the Second and the Fourth and other amendments. So not only do they not alter the Constitution for their nefarious schemes through amendment like they're supposed to, they take what amendments are there, the very best ones in the Bill of Rights, and they try and take those away.
Yes. So I wanted to say one more comment about these mass shootings. Again, it's about blocking the object of these mass shootings. If they're being marketed for disarming the American people and altering the law, then the way to block them is to make them produce every shred of evidence. Because I think in many cases they're not going to be able to provide it. So what it would do is that they would really have to do one. And I don't think they're going to do that. They're not going to want to take some kind of chance like that. So it simply is blocking their ability to achieve their goal by using mass shootings. Yes.
That's right. By making them produce the evidence and the burden of proof's on them, you can't say that enough, eventually you'd wear them down. They'd go, man, we've got to lay it all out on the line. We got to put all the cards on the table. This is supposed to be easy for us, and it's not, so we're not going to do that.
That's right. We've got to think of something else. And, of course, they're not arguing this. They never really argue this stuff on the logic in the Congress where all that should be done, and because they're going to lose the argument because there's no justification for disarmament. So they try to get emotional events again to give them some kind of power and emotional control of the people so that they can disarm them.
That's absolutely right, and that is the emotion and the fear is why they carry out these watershed events, be it, back to the Spanish-American War and that false flag, be it the strange events that led to World War One that really aren't plausible, and that involved labeling Germans as people that put Belgian babies on bayonets and skewered them like they were having shish kebab. That was pushed by the Daily Mail. And the Daily Mail was seen as such an instrument of weaponized news during the lead-up to World War One that the German Navy shelled the publisher's, the main editor's house of the UK Daily Mail. The Navy of Germany shelled his house.
Amazing.
That's how much the media was seen as a weaponized entity. So the Germans were smart, but that story that they were skewering Belgian babies, the Hun, as they called Germans, on their bayonets was utterly false, and yet it was sold to the people. That was the 9/11 of its day. The battleship Maine and Havana Harbor was the Spanish-American War. Then, FDR was caught off guard. Oh, no, we'll have to enter World War II, when FDR damn well knew that weasel, what was going to happen. And then they blamed Kimmel and Short, the military leaders in Pearl Harbor, for negligence. And they were absolutely aghast. And so then you get up to the Gulf of Tonkin, Vietnam, and, you know, this is just the bigger picture. Finally, there was an earlier attack on the World Trade Center, early 1990s, and then lo and behold, the Big Kahuna, 2001. You know, there's some evidence for directed energy. There's evidence for other means. But the end is always the same. The end is always that some way or another, your constitutional rights are on the chopping block, And local tyrants breathing right down your neck or the tyrants in your own country could never be the problem. It's always some faraway cave dwellers or faraway forces, faraway dictator that dresses in a military uniform even when he takes a shower, like, you know, Saddam Hussein. He never takes his uniform off even when he has his whores in his harem, you know? And so we're clobbered with this.
You had a good point the other day. Don't tell me. what was it? Darn. I'll think of it a minute. Keep going. I shouldn't have interrupted.
Well, no, I was about done with my almost rant there. But yeah. you see the pattern, the long train of abuses and usurpations that the Declaration of Independence talked about. You know there's a plan to reduce you to absolute despotism. I mean, the founders understood that the action is in the reaction.
I just remembered it. You had the good point you had was that rather than breaking up the Patriot movement on whether this was directed energy or an atomic reactor in the basement or what do you call it, the super nano thermite. And maybe we can get into some of this on your show tomorrow and just finish up the World Trade Center. Then we can maybe get into COVID, which is the last one. But rather than do all these breaking up the community, if everybody saw that what the real object of this stuff is, by a dissolved tyrannical government and why these events are happening, we could all get together to block this stuff by our own understanding of government and what they can and cannot do regardless of the event, and educate, all of us get together to educate the public as to why, regardless of the event, they simply cannot do things. They cannot do anything they want simply because an event happened. Because authority does not flow from events. It always flows from the individual. And their authority does not go up with an event. So if we could get together, boy, we'd be a powerful force.
That's it. Yeah, means and ends are both important. Yes, we can talk about the means by which these things were done. We won't neglect it, but we can all agree on what the objectives are and then use that to figure out a way to block this pattern and end this chain, break the chain.
All right, Mark. Well said. I believe we're coming up on the end of the show. So I've got about 8 seconds. So stay tuned for Mark's show tomorrow, and we'll wrap this up. And thanks for joining me, Mark. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.